Please be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as we begin today's ceremony, we will present a special tribute to America's veterans. Since the 1700s, generations of our military men and women have established a legacy of resolve and determination that exists in our country today. Following the attack on Pearl Harbor, America's greatest generation stepped forward to chisel their place in history at Normandy, Midway, and around the world. Peace was short-lived, however, as the world was thrust into the nuclear age and became polarized between the forces of democracy and communism. Our veterans served as part of a United Nations fighting force at places like Porkchop Hill, Pusan, and Incheon. After 3 years of intense combat in a harsh environment, an armistice was signed that is still in effect today. In Vietnam, our next generation of veterans engaged the enemy wherever they found them and fought with distinction and honor in places such as the I Trang Valley, at Dak Tho, and during the Tet Offensive. Following Vietnam, the military draft ended and the United States shifted to an all-volunteer force. This force demonstrated the resolve of the United States in Grenada and Panama, rescuing thousands. The fall of the Berlin Wall marked our victory in the Cold War. History would repeat itself. New threats emerged in both the Middle East and Europe. In Desert Storm, our forces moved swiftly to help liberate Kuwait from the occupying Iraqi forces. The United States also intervened in Bosnia and Kosovo to protect the innocent caught in the violence. Attacks of 9/11, America took the fight to the enemy in Southwest Asia, but we continue to pursue and eliminate threats today. Throughout its history, America's veterans have been and continue to be the bedrock of our nation, caring for family, neighbors, and the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise now as we present our national colors and those of our host veterans organization, the Military Order of the World Wars. Standing for the prayer for all veterans, delivered by Chaplain Keith Etheridge, Director of the Department of Veterans Affairs Chaplain Service.
Let us pray. Holy God, we seek your blessing as we return to this sacred ground to celebrate and honor American veterans. We join with Americans all across our land in ceremonies around the world to thank our veterans for their love of country, their dedication to excellence, and their commitment to service. We give thanks for families who have stood by their military men and women while they were deployed, and today stand by them as they invest that same love of country, dedication, and service in civilian life. We pause this morning to remember and pray for those who continue to grieve the loss of a service member, no matter the generation or time of service. In this hour, we pledge to care for veterans and their families as they adjust to living with the wounds of war. May they know that their sacrifices were not in vain, and that a grateful nation takes time today to honor them for the great gift of freedom. Bless our service members who continue to serve in harm's way in Afghanistan, Iraq, and in locations around the world. Hear our prayer for veterans. We pray with gratitude. Amen.
Now I'd like to invite Mr. Russell Vohwinkel, Commander-in-Chief of the Military Order of the World Wars, to lead us in our Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. It is now my distinct privilege to introduce the leaders of the veteran service organizations that comprise the Veterans Day National Committee. The committee was formed by presidential order in 1954 to hold this annual observation for America's veterans and to support and encourage Veterans Day observances throughout the nation. Please hold your applause until I've introduced all these special guests. If you're able, please stand when I call your name. Russell Vohwinkel, Commander-in-Chief, Military Order of the World Wars. Arthur Cooper, National President, the Retired Enlisted Association. Harold Fritz, President, Congressional Medal of Honor Society. Donald L. Samuels, National Commander, Disabled American Veterans. Bill Muleib, National President, Pearl Harbor Survivors Association. Norbert Ryan, Jr., National President, Military Officers Association of America. Therese Robel, National Commander, Polish Legion of American Veterans. William McSwain, National President, Korean War Veterans Association. Albert Gonzalez, National Commander, American GI Forum. Alan E. Falk, National Commander, Jewish War Veterans of the USA. Carol Bogard, National Commander, American Ex-Prisoners of War. Leo F. Haley, National Commander, Catholic War Veterans of the USA. Frederick Elliott, Vice President, Vietnam Veterans of America. Richard L. DeNoyer, Commander-in-Chief, Veterans of the Foreign Wars of the United States. Gary Fry, National Commander, AMVETS. Samuel L. Hune, National President, Blinded Veterans Association. Jeffrey Gibson, National Commander, Army and Navy Union of the USA. H. Gene Overstreet, National Commander, Non-Commissioned Officers Association. David Voiles, National Vice Commander, the American Legion. Bill Hutton, National Commander, Military Order of the Purple Heart of the USA. James Scarborough, past National President, Fleet Reserve Association. James Toohey, Senior Vice Commandant, Marine Corps League. Edward T. Brogan, National President, Military Chaplains Association. Bill Lawson, National President, Paralyzed Veterans of America. Donald L. Marks, National Commander, Legion of Valor of the USA. The associate members of the committee are located in the boxes to my left. Please hold your applause until the end. Norma Luther, National President, American Gold Star Mothers. Jeanette B. Early, National President, Gold Star Wives of America. Janet Broussard, President, Blue Star Mothers of America. Peter Forbes, National Commander, Veterans of the Vietnam War. S. Sanford Schlitt, Chairman of the Board, Air Force Association. Carl Barrett, National Commander, Navy CB Veterans of America. Jeffrey Ledoux, International President, Air Force Sergeants Association. Mike Lynch, President and CEO, Help Hospitalize Veterans. Gerald DeFrancisco, President of the Humanitarian Services American Red Cross. David Fletcher, President, National Association of State Directors of Veterans Affairs. Lori S. Montgomery, President, National Association of State Veterans Homes. Jack W. Klimp, President, National Association of Uniformed Services. Gerald H. Yamada, President, Japanese American Veterans Association. J. David Bailey, National President, Veterans of the Battle of the Bulge. Darlene Baker, Chair of the Board, Bowlers to Veterans Link. Charles Abel, Member of the Board, Wounded Warrior Project. Walker Williams, President, Reserve Officers Association. Tim Moon, National President, Association of the United States Navy. Vicki F. Hajduk, National President, Women's Army Corps Veterans Association. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in recognizing our veterans' national leadership with your applause. It is now my pleasure to introduce our veterans organization host. Founded in 1919, the Military Order of the World Wars was formed at the suggestion of General of the Army's John J. Pershing. It is a veterans service organization comprised of members who were or are commissioned or warrant officers of the U.S. Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, Public Health Service, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The Military Order of the World Wars is represented today by their National Commander-in-Chief, retired Navy Captain Russell C. Vohwinkle. Captain Vohwinkle served as a Naval Flight Officer in the Republic of Vietnam. Ladies and gentlemen, Russell C. Vohwinkle.
Mr. President, Secretary Shinseki, fellow veterans, distinguished guests, and Americans everywhere, on behalf of the Companions of the Military Order of the World Wars, thank you for celebrating the service of America's veterans. Secretary Shinseki rightfully reminds us that November 11th is a day to celebrate the selfless service of our veterans. It is a day to rejoice that we have Americans willing to accept significant hardships to preserve and protect our nation. Likewise, America is blessed to have veteran service organizations that continue this tradition after the active military service of their members ends. The Military Order of the World Wars is just one of many veteran service organizations contributing to America. In the 92 years since our founding, our order has served America by sponsoring youth leadership conferences, accredited by the National Association of Secondary School Principals throughout the United States. Our order also serves America's youth by sponsoring awards programs for junior and senior ROTC programs, the Boy Scouts of America and the Girl Scouts of America. Additionally, we recognize those who excel in national security, homeland security, and law enforcement arenas. Finally, we serve America by sponsoring Massing of the Colors ceremonies in conjunction with Flag Day, the 4th of July, Memorial Day, and Veterans Day. We are not unique. Veterans and the veteran service organizations to which they belong support America every day in every way. We're grateful for the veterans' abiding devotion to duty. We're humbled by their eternal sacrifices. Their selfless service underwrites the freedom of thought, choice, and action necessary we all must have to pursue our respective dreams and aspirations. For that, and for so much more, We are in their eternal debt. Thank you.
Please welcome the Honorable Eric K. Shinseki, Secretary of Veterans Affairs.
Welcome, everyone, to this hallowed place. Our purpose here today is to honor all of you, the veterans of our great country. Mr. President, First Lady Michelle Obama, Medal of Honor recipients Harold Fritz and Brian Thacker, distinguished members of the Congress, Secretary of Defense Panetta, service secretaries, members of your defense team, Chairman and Mrs. Marty Dempsey, leaders of our uniformed services, Deputy VA Secretary Scott Gould, other VA leaders, my greetings to Russell Vohwinkel again, Commander-in-Chief of the Military Order of World Wars, our co-host today, Bill Muleib, and other Pearl Harbor survivors who are standing with us their last Veterans Day formation as a service organization. For the past 70 years, they have been stalwart reminders of the importance of national readiness. Thank you for your service and Godspeed. Other veteran service organizations, fellow veterans, other distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, what a beautiful day for observing this 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month and the 11th year of this century. Just think warm. We gather as Americans to honor, thank, and celebrate those who have safeguarded this great nation both in peace and in war, and to renew our commitment as a nation to those who, in President Abraham Lincoln's words, have borne the battle. In these uncertain times, the nation's veterans can take great comfort in knowing that we have a Commander-in-Chief who is staunchly devoted to keeping Lincoln's commitment. President Obama's support for veterans has been strong, consistent, unwavering. And because of that, we have been transforming your VA to better serve veterans throughout this 21st century. Working with the Congress, the President provided in 2010 the largest single-year increase to the VA budget in over 30 years. And he has steadily, thank you. And he has steadily grown that budget by 27% over the past two fiscal years. Extraordinary support during these tough economic times, and yet essential if we're going to increase veteran access to our services and benefits, eliminate the backlog in disability claims, and end veterans' homelessness in 2015. In the last 2.5 years, we've added nearly 800,000 veterans to our healthcare rolls, built more than 50 new community-based outpatient clinics, are building 5 new hospitals, have invested heavily in both mental health care and the telehealth technologies to link veterans wherever they live with the VA services they need. We've also improved outreach to women veterans, adding 144 women's program coordinators at our key medical centers, and women's veterans benefits coordinators at our 56 regional offices, enrolled over 630,000 veterans and family members in college under the new GI Bill, and begun piloting an automated claims process that will start eliminating the backlog next year, help permanently house over 32,000 homeless veterans and assisted another 50,000 through our homeless call center, and then addressed long-standing issues from past wars. Agent Orange, Gulf War illness, combat post-traumatic stress disorder, making it easier for hundreds of thousands of veterans to receive the benefits they earned. No president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt has done more for the nation's veterans who answered the call to general quarters at Pearl Harbor, who turned the tide at Midway, who captured Hitler's Eagle's Nest, outflanked communist forces at Incheon, fought and defeated the Tet 68 offensive, liberated Kuwait, toppled Saddam Hussein, drove the Taliban into hiding, and brought Osama bin Laden to justice. We could not ask for a stronger advocate for veterans and for the men and women who serve today in uniform who will be tomorrow's veterans. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great personal and professional honor to present to you our Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, Rick Shinseki, for your extraordinary service to our country and your tireless commitment to our veterans, to Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, to Chairman Dempsey and Mrs. Dempsey, to our wonderful veteran service organizations for the extraordinary work that you do for our nation's heroes, to all who tend to and watch over this sacred cemetery, and above all, to every active duty member, guardsman, reservist, and veteran of the United States Armed Forces. There are many honors and responsibilities that come with this job, but none are more humbling than serving as your Commander-in-Chief, and I'm proud to be with so many of you here today. Here, where our heroes come to rest, we come to show our gratitude. A few moments ago, I laid a wreath to pay tribute to all who have given their lives to our country. For even though this is a day we rightly honor America's veterans, we gather today in solemn respect, mindful that we are guests here, mindful that we share this hallowed space with a family's moment of quiet grief, mindful that many veterans not far from here are tracing their fingers over black granite for friends who never came home, and expect us to do all we can to bring every missing American service member home to their families. To all our nation's veterans, whether you fought in Salerno or Samara, Quezon or the Coringal, you are part of an unbroken chain of men and women who have served this country with honor and distinction. On behalf of a proud and grateful nation, we thank you. When I spoke here on this day 2 years ago, I said there would be a day before long when this generation of servicemen and women would begin to step out of uniform. And I made them a promise. I said that when your tour ends, when you see our flag, when you touch our soil, you'll be home in an America that is forever here for you, just as you've been there for us. For many, that day has come. Over the past decade, more than 5 million Americans have worn the uniform of the United States Armed Forces. Of these, 3 million stepped forward after the attacks of September 11th, knowing full well that they could be sent into harm's way. And in that time, they have served in some of the world's most dangerous places. Their service has been selfless. Their accomplishments have been extraordinary. In Iraq, they have battled a brutal insurgency, trained new security forces, and given the Iraqi people the opportunity to forge a better future. In Afghanistan, they have pushed back the Taliban, decimated Al-Qaeda, and delivered the ultimate justice to Osama bin Laden. In concert with our allies, they have helped end Gaddafi's brutal dictatorship and returned Libya to its people. Because of their incredible efforts, we can stand here today and say with confidence, the tide of war is receding. In just a few weeks, the long war in Iraq will finally come to an end. Our transition in Afghanistan is moving forward. My fellow Americans, our troops are coming home. For many military families, this holiday season will be a season of homecomings. And over the next 5 years, more than 1 million Americans in uniform will transition back to civilian life, joining the nearly 3 million who have done so over the past decade and embraced a proud new role, the role of veteran. This generation of service members, this 9/11 generation, has borne the burden of our security during a hard decade of sacrifice. Our servicemen and women make up less than 1% of Americans, but also more than 1 million military spouses and 2 million children, and millions more parents and relatives, all of whom have shared the strains of deployment and sacrificed on behalf of the country that we love. Only 27 years old on average, these young men and women have shattered the false myth of their generation's apathy, for they came of age in an era when so many institutions failed to live up to their responsibilities, but they chose to serve a cause greater than themselves. They saw their country threatened, but they signed up to confront that threat. They felt some tug, they answered some call, and they said, "Let's go." And they've earned their place among the greatest of generations. That is something for America to be proud of. That is the spirit America needs now. A stronger, newer spirit of service and of sacrifice. That spirit that says, "What can I do to help? What can I do to serve?" That spirit that says, "When my country is challenged, I will do my part to meet that challenge." So on this Veterans Day, let us commit ourselves to keep making sure that our veterans receive the care and benefits that they have earned, the opportunity they defend and deserve, and above all, let us welcome them home as what they are, an integral, essential part of our American family. See, when our men and women sign up to become a soldier, a sailor, an airman, Marine, or Coast Guardsman, they don't stop being a citizen. When they take off that uniform, their service to this nation doesn't stop either. Like so many of their predecessors, today's veterans come home looking to continue serving America however they can. At a time when America needs all hands on deck, they have the skills and the strength to help lead the way. Our government needs their patriotism, and sense of duty. And that's why I've ordered the hiring of more veterans by the federal government. Our economy needs their tremendous talents and specialized skills. So I challenged our business leaders to hire 100,000 post-9/11 veterans and their spouses over the next few years. And yesterday, many of these leaders joined Michelle to announce that they will meet that challenge. Our communities have always drawn strength from our veterans' leadership. Think of all who've come home and settled on in a quiet life of service. As a doctor or a police officer, an engineer or an entrepreneur, as a mom or a dad, and in the process changed countless lives. Other veterans seek new adventures, from taking on a new business to building a team of globe-trotting veterans who use skills learned in combat to help after a natural disaster. And there are also so many in this young generation who still feel that tug to serve, but just don't quite know where to turn. So on this Veterans Day, I ask every American, recruit our veterans. If you're a business owner, hire them. If you're a community leader, a mayor, a pastor, a preacher, call on them to join your efforts. Organize your community to make a sustained difference in the life of a veteran, because that veteran can make an incredible difference in the life of your community. If you're a veteran looking for new ways to serve, check out serve.gov. If you're a civilian looking for new ways to support our veterans and our troops, join Michelle and Jill Biden at joiningforces.gov. Find out what you can do. There's no such thing as too small a difference. That effort you make may have the biggest impact. I say this because recently I received a letter from a Vietnam veteran. She wasn't writing to tell me about her own experience. She just wanted to tell me about her son, Jeremy. Now, Jeremy isn't deployed. Jeremy's not a veteran, or even in the military at all, as badly as he wants to follow in the footsteps of his family and enlist. You see, Jeremy has Down syndrome. So Jeremy chooses to serve where he can best, with his local Vietnam Veterans of America chapter in Beaver, Pennsylvania. He calls them the soldiers. And one day last spring, Jeremy spent the day with several of these veterans cleaning up a local highway. He worked tirelessly, wrote his mother. He never asked to take a break. He didn't stop to talk about his beloved Steelers. He didn't even ask for anything to eat or drink. He only asked one thing several times. Mom, will President Obama be proud of me for helping the soldiers? Well, Jeremy, I want you to know, yes, I am proud of you. I could not be prouder of you, and your country is proud of you. Thank you for serving our veterans by helping them to continue their service to America. And Jeremy's example, one young man's example, is one that we must all now follow. Because after a decade of war, the nation we now need to build is our own. And just as our greatest generation left a country recovering from depression and returned home to build the largest middle class in history, so now will the 9/11 generation play a pivotal role in rebuilding America's opportunity and prosperity in the 21st century. We know it will be hard. We have to overcome new threats to our security and prosperity. And we've got to overcome the cynical voices warning that America's best days are behind us. But if there is anything our veterans teach us, it's that there is no threat we cannot meet, there is no challenge we cannot overcome. America's best days are still ahead, and the reason for that is because we are a people who defy those voices that insist otherwise. We are a country that does what is necessary for future generations to succeed. You, our veterans, fight so our children won't have to. We build and we invent and we learn so that we will know greater opportunity. America leads so that the next generation, here and around the world, will know a more hopeful life on this earth. So today, I thank you all for making that possible. God bless you. God bless our veterans and our troops. And God bless the United States of America.
Please rise and join the United States Army Band in singing God Bless America. Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing as we retire the colors. Retire the colors. Thank you. This concludes the 2011 National Veterans Day observance. Please be seated for the departure of the President of the United States, and thank you for joining us to honor all who served.